Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep, is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In his name, amen. Perhaps just a note before we begin, this might very well be an historic occasion here at Concordia Theological Seminary. We're in Easter 4, Good Shepherd Gospel, and a lamb proclaiming the sermon. This may not happen again. The words of Jesus, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's always been one of my very favorite life-affirming passages in the Scripture. So when I became executive director of Lutherans for Life, we printed it on business cards, on reams of stationery, and on a 9-by-13-foot sign in front of the office so that everybody driving by Highway 30 in Nevada, Iowa, could see that Jesus came to give abundant life. A short time later, someone took me to task for that, warning me that the other side, the opposition, used that verse too. It goes like this. If it can be shown that this baby in the womb, for example, because of the baby's health or maybe the mother's health or the circumstances into which the child would be born, that's not going to be the abundant life, you see, that Jesus would want. He wouldn't mind if we took that child's life through abortion. Or the other end, there's grandma lying in the nursing home bed. That's not the abundant life that Jesus wants, so he wouldn't mind if we hurried things along and dispatched grandma off to be with Jesus just a bit early. Well, I didn't want to give in to the opposition so quickly, nor did I want to reprint all that stationery and repaint a $1,300 sign. So I dug into this text a little bit deeper, and to ask the question, what did Jesus mean by the abundant life? And given the context, of course, that leads to another question. Well, what was the abundant life like for a sheep? And that leads to a pretty simple answer. The abundant life for the sheep was following the shepherd. The abundant life for a sheep wasn't necessarily a life of abundance. It wasn't being able to say, "I have everything I want." It was being able to say, "I have a shepherd, so I shall not want." The abundant life for a sheep was following the shepherd, but that wasn't always easy. Sometimes it meant getting up early in the morning, leaving the sheepfold, and climbing some pretty steep paths up into those mountain meadows where they would graze. And we can perhaps identify with that, maybe not the getting up early part, but the steep part. Lives can be that way, uphill sometimes, one step forward, two steps back. Things can get overwhelming. This might be an overwhelming time of year here, the end of an academic year, going out in vicarage, first calls, classwork to finish, tests to take, papers that are due, papers overdue. Can be overwhelming. Then you're going to get out in the congregations which you will serve in your various vocations, and you're going to find a lot of people out there overwhelmed. They're going to say, "Pastor, vicar, deaconess, I know we follow Jesus, but sometimes it seems so steep, it's overwhelming. Is he really in control? Is he really in charge?" And what will you answer? Well, the good shepherd, you see, knows where the green pastures are. The Palestinian shepherds knew that after that long climb into the mountains, it wouldn't be good for the sheep who were hot to drink from that icy cold mountain water. So they made them lie down in the green pastures, the grasses along the streams, to cool off. Imagine you're a sheep, you're hot, you're dying of thirst, there's cold water. What's this? But the shepherd knew what was best. He was in control, and they listened to his voice. The good shepherd leads us to green pastures. Some of them lie next to an empty tomb where we understand that we just don't have hope We have living hope in our lives. Some of the pastors lie next to the Mount of Ascension, where we understand that we have an ascended Lord who is at the right hand of the Father with all things under his feet. He has the scroll in his hands. He's in control of all things. He's in control of you and your lives and the lives of your people. We have a good shepherd who says, "Lie down in green pastures, cool it. I'm in charge." The abundant life for a sheep wasn't necessarily a life of abundance. Some of those trails up the mountains were very narrow and dangerous, and one misstep and you've got a future ball of yarn rolling down a mountainside. And we can identify with narrow paths. We're asked to follow one. The paths of righteousness for his namesake, the path of his truth, and it's narrow and it's hard because the world offers us so many easy, wide paths. And they offer that to your people. And it's easy to wander. We wander. We wander and we know we're wandering and we do it anyway. We wander and we know we're wandering and we do it anyway, and sometimes we actually like it. You know what I mean. What are you going to tell your people? Well, the good shepherd knows where the quiet waters are. The shepherds knew it would be dangerous sometimes to drink by fast-moving streams, so they'd dam up the stream in strategic places and create quiet pools, and the sheep could drink safely. The good shepherd leads us to the quiet waters of our baptism, where our faith was authored, where our faith is anchored. He says, "Drink." He leads us to his truth and his word, and he says, "Drink richly and daily." And be reminded, be lost in, drowned in the truth of God's word. The abundant life for a sheep wasn't always easy. It meant leaving the sheepfold and being in the presence of enemies, mountain lions and wolves, waiting for a wandering lost sheep to devour. We can identify with that. We live in the midst of enemies. The big three, of course, our sinful nature, the world, Satan. Satan's kind of the ringleader of that three-ring circus, the great deceiver. I used to tell my confirmation students, Satan has this big paintbrush, and he's a great artist of deceit, and he takes that which is good, and he paints it over so it looks evil, and he takes that which is evil, and he paints it over so it looks good. He's doing that again and again. He's doing it with death. He paints over death. He paints over abortion and makes it look good, the only way out of a difficult situation. He paints over embryonic stem cell research, the only way we're going to find cure for disease. He paints over assisted suicide and euthanasia, the only way to relieve pain and suffering in our lives. And many are deceived. It's easy to be deceived because he makes these things look so good. But our good shepherd knows and feeds us right in the presence of our enemies. The shepherds of old used to carry bags of grain with them, and sometimes they would supplement the day's grazing by throwing the grain on the ground, and the sheep had this special meal, this special treat. Well, the good shepherd prepares for us a special meal, the body and blood that he gave for us, and he says, "Come and eat. And be strengthened." And that meal points us to the cross. And that meal points us to the victory of an empty tomb. It points us to victory over sin. Sin has been cleansed by the blood that flows from that cross. Satan's head has been crushed under the weight of that bloody cross. And death has been swallowed up in victory through the resurrection of the shepherd from the dead. And we are not striving for victory in our lives. We will not be leading people for victory. We strive in victory. We lead our people in victory that's already been won over our enemies. Come, take, and eat. The abundant life for a sheep wasn't always easy. When they came back down the mountains, the sun would be setting, the mountain peaks would create shadows in those valleys, and sometimes the sheep couldn't see their shepherd, and when sheep can't see their shepherd, they get a little panicky, which isn't good on a steep, narrow trail. We can identify with that. There can be dark times in our lives. I'll admit it if you will. There's dark times in the lives of people to which you will be called to serve. Sometimes that darkness is called by sin in their lives. And I'm here to tell you that sins against life, abortion, suicide, embryonic stem cell research, sins against life, when we participate in those are more difficult to deal with than so many sins because of their nature. And the feeling is prevalent and very dark. This sin, this one, is too big to be forgiven. But the Good Shepherd comforts us in our dark valleys with his rod and his staff. See, the shepherds would use the rod and the staff. They had many, many uses, but when they were coming down the valley and they knew it was getting dark and the sheep perhaps couldn't see them, they'd start beating out a rhythm on the rocks or putting the rod and staff together. So then, even though the sheep couldn't see their shepherd, they knew he was there. And our Good Shepherd beats out a rhythm for us. It's his promises. Promise after promise after promise. I'm with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. I love you with a boundless love. Nothing can separate you from that love. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. I go to prepare a place for you. And on, the rhythm of his promises are there. And even though it doesn't seem like our shepherd is with us sometimes, we cling not to what we see, not to what we feel, but to the promises he has given. What is the abundant life? Not necessarily a life of abundance. It's not being able to say, I have everything I want. It's being able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And someday he'll lead us home, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then, brothers and sisters, then the abundant life will truly be a life of abundance. Until then, we follow the shepherd. In his name, amen.